Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, August 8th, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the Daily Lectionary. Our guest pastor this morning joining us by phone, the Reverend Peter Ill, pastor at St. John Lutheran Church in Chester, Illinois. Good morning, Pastor Ill.
Good morning, Andy.
Thanks so much for being our guest this morning, helping us study God's Word.
It sure is my pleasure.
Tell us about St. John Lutheran Church in Chester, Illinois.
St. John is a wonderful congregation here located about 70 miles south of St. Louis on the Mississippi River, and it's our pleasure to get to host our students, our congregational students and community students in our school, and to get to proclaim God's Word here each week and go on from there. So we gather around God's gifts and so on, just like so many Lutheran churches do around the country. So it's great to be part of that wider church, even here in Chester.
Wonderful. And St. John's has been there for quite some time, correct?
Yeah, we've been here since 1849. And
now, you haven't been there since 1849.
I haven't been here since 1849, no. But St. John has been here for quite some while, and it is wonderful. And there are a good number of stories of the different effects that we've had here in our community, especially in ministry to our prison that's here in town, and so on. So lots of wonderful stories about St. John Chester and the saints here.
Well, wonderful. Glad to hear that you're there delivering God's good gifts and bringing the good news of Jesus to that community. Today, we are studying 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, through chapter 2, verse 16. So any background on that text, any context you want us to understand before we start reading the text this morning?
Sure. I just wanted to think a little bit about the context of the Corinthians. I know that today's the second day that we are reading through the 1 Corinthians, and something that's going to kind of come out in our reading today is the Corinthians are living in a real cosmopolitan city. About the time this was written, there were about 100,000 people in Corinth, and there was a lot of diversity and a lot of different things happening. It was a shipping port and a hub, and so there were an awful lot of different opinions, and Corinth was kind of a clearinghouse for all kinds of different wisdom and thought, and there were a lot of different economic statuses going on. So that's something that's going to come out in our reading, and you can compare Corinth to any other major cosmopolitan area that that is sending goods and has a wide collection of people. Even today, you could compare it maybe to like a New York or an LA or something like that.
New York or LA sounds like fun.
Yeah.
All right, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 this morning. If you have questions, give us a call or an email. We are at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take some questions as Pastor Ill and I are working through 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 this morning. Chapter 1, verse 26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Consider your calling, brothers. He says, consider your calling. What does this mean? What is a calling?
A calling is anything that we are given by God to do. Mm-hmm. And so as we think about the different callings that we have, because this is written as much to us as it is to the Corinthians, we can sit here and think, well, what am I today? We might think of our workplaces. Or maybe we're thinking, well, I could be retired, or I could be a husband or a wife or a mother or father. I could be a friend or a citizen. And so we have all these different roles or hats that we wear that God has given us. And as we fill the roles that God has given us, we do all of that thinking about who God has made us, because we might look at ourselves and say, well, you know, I'm not really I'm not worthy of the callings that I have. You might look at it and say, I might not be an excellent husband, or I might not be the father I wish I would be, or sometimes I fail at my job. I know for myself, I can say I'm not the pastor that I wish I was, but I've been given this calling by God, and no matter what I think of it, God has put me in this place and in this time to fill this or that role for my family, for my neighbors, for my friends, for my employer. And as we consider all of those different callings, we get a chance to, Paul starts us off this morning with a chance to sit back and kind of reflect, well, what are those callings? And we certainly have more than one at a time, and we have a chance to consider all those things. And while we might be quick to discount the callings that we have from God, we might say, well, as a dad, I change diapers, or as a wife, I make sure that supper's on the table. That doesn't sound like a glamorous service to God, but it most certainly is.
Yes, at 3 a.m. when you're changing a wet diaper, it doesn't necessarily sound like a very holy vocation, does it?
No, but God has put you in that time and in that place, even at 3 a.m. with a wet diaper, to serve your child and to go from there. And so we definitely have that. And as Paul continues on through this verse a little bit, he says that not many of you are wise according to worldly standards. And that even makes me think back to Jeremiah, where it says that God's plans aren't our plans. And the way that we would set up our callings and our vocations aren't the way that God does it. And I know in my own life there are times when I might try to manipulate or change my own callings, or at least make it work better for me. And God does things that don't always make a lot of sense to me. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that.
Yeah.
And as we have a chance to continue to serve God in these callings, it's not about what we think, and it's not about the worldly standards, but it's about the calling that we have from God that ultimately starts with His calling of us as Christians. We might talk about this as election, or how God chooses us to be His people, which is certainly the very center of our vocation, is who we are in Christ and who we are in Jesus. And by God's calling of us to faith, all these other callings start to make sense. It's not what the world says about us. It's not what we say about us. It's not what you might hear going on in the news about Christians that defines us, but rather it's about what God says about us that is the very central aspect of who we are as Christians.
So what he says here, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. So basically, according to the world, you really weren't that much. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God.
Absolutely. This is what Pastor Luther called the Great Exchange, where God would take the lowly and the weak and the ununderstandable and say, like Paul says elsewhere in Romans, you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Wow! We are transformed from whatever we are and whatever we might think of ourselves to God's beloved children, to His saints whom He glorifies and sanctifies and makes holy by His goodness and by His love through Christ's death and resurrection. And that great exchange is a really powerful thing, especially for the Corinthians that are living in this cosmopolitan city. The church there in Corinth was not just one group of people, but rather you had some of the rich and the wise going to church along with, say, folks who were servants and slaves. And you had Jews and Greeks together in the church, and you had men and women, and the church was a reflection of how life in Corinth was. And even from the way Paul phrases this, we think a little bit, oh, there were those in the church, maybe even a good chunk of those in the church, that weren't well regarded by everybody. These are the sinners that Jesus came to save, And there might have been people who say, well, if the church is for slaves and for the low class, then how is it for me? But certainly, the church was there in Corinth and is now here throughout the world for all.
Hmm. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.
Sure. Actually, before I charge ahead too much, though, I'd like to think back a second about taking the weak and the foolish. And it makes me think even about how Jesus came and was born of a virgin and was kind of born to the world that looked scandalous and didn't make a whole lot of sense. But God chose to enter the world that way and to save sinners. And God's ways certainly aren't our ways. And there are days when I, as a Christian, and folks that I know as Christians, sit down and say, oh, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I don't understand why God is working this way. And that's okay, because God works through the weak and the despised and does his will. Just like we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, God brings his kingdom, and he does it without our prayers. But even better, he comes to us daily and reminds us of the grace and forgiveness that we have, even through, like Paul said in yesterday's reading, through the foolishness of the cross. So, but then going on a little bit into being in Christ Jesus, he became to us wisdom from God. A lot of the Corinthians were really interested in wisdom. There were a couple different schools of philosophy that were centered in Corinth, and Corinth, as that cosmopolitan city, was really considering a lot of higher learning, and they were kicking around these ideas about philosophy. And Paul says, well, take the despised and the weak, and there is real wisdom. These Epicureans and these Stoics and the wisdom that you all like to talk about, that's all fine and good. But you know what? Real wisdom comes from Christ. And this is the wisdom of God. And he brings righteousness and salvation, sanctification and redemption. And so we have a chance to boast, but we don't boast according to those worldly standards. It's not about what kind of car you drive or how big your house is or how important your church is, in Asia Minor there for the Corinthians, or how important your church is here, but it's all about who God has made you in Christ. Whatever the world thinks, that's fine, they can think that. But what matters to us is what God thinks of us. And in Christ, he calls us his redeemed, sanctified people. And so we get to boast in that. We get to wake up in the morning and remember our baptisms and say, Jesus' grace counts for me. Today, I am one of God's people, and I will boast and be proud of that. Everything else that happens, it happens. But I'm God's. Thanks be to Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. We are studying the Daily Lectionary. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 right now, moving into chapter 2 here in a little bit. We're studying with the Reverend Peter Ill, pastor at St. John Lutheran Church in Chester, Illinois. If you have a question, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take some questions as we're studying God's Word in the Daily Lectionary today. Stick around for more His Time right after this. We need to take a quick break. We've got more in Chapter 2 coming up right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
On the next Adventures in Odyssey, Matthew Parker gets a strange invitation.
To be a part of our club, you have to promise you won't tell anybody about us.
The password is Populus Quisnum Partum Quod Constructum.
But what kind of club is he joining anyway?
You guys are either superheroes or really bizarre thieves. Which is it?
The answers will be revealed on the next Adventures in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KFUO.
We live in a brave new world when it comes to infertility medicine, in vitro fertilization, embryo adoption, and assisted reproductive technology. What is the church to do? What comfort can we offer those suffering? LCMS Life Ministry and Concordia Seminary Life Team are sponsoring a free infertility ethics symposium for pastors, seminarians, commission ministers, and parish nurses, November 8th in St. Louis. Space is limited. lcms.org/life.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, August 8th, and we are studying the Daily Lectionary today with Pastor Peter Ill from St. John Lutheran Church in Chester, Illinois. Time to move into 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. All right, Pastor, let's take a look. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come preaching or proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. I didn't come with fancy words, he says.
Sure, and there's a lot of folks who think about, well, what was it like when Paul came and preached? And while we have some of his sermons, none of us ever got to hear, you and I didn't get to hear Paul preach himself. And I don't want to say that Paul didn't use rhetoric or that he didn't structure the way he preached his sermons and told people about Jesus poorly, because as we read some of the sermons that he preached through the book of Acts, he really organized his thoughts well, but he didn't come working with the wisdom and the knowledge that these Corinthians would have expected. He came and he talked about Jesus, and it was something that they really didn't quite expect. They expected somebody to have a philosophical conversation about these new beliefs over there in Jerusalem, and Paul came and ended up talking about Jesus who was raised from the dead and how he saved sinners, and he took the foolish and the weak and made them strong. And so Paul doesn't try to make somebody of himself, but instead he goes to the Corinthians and he says, don't look at me, look at Jesus. And that's really the task of both the church today and pastors today. It's not right for us as the church to say, hey, look at us, we're the church. Look at all the wonderful things that we're doing. Instead, we say, hey, we're the church. We're forgiven and loved by Jesus. And let's have a chance to talk about Him. Because it's not about us here at St. John in Chester or wherever your congregation is, but it's about us as the church gathered together by God. And we really have that chance to proclaim Him crucified and risen too. So that's where we focus our attention as we read Scripture, as we gather around God's Word and sacraments. We don't look to ourselves other than to say, I'm a sinner for whom Christ died, and it is only by God's grace that I am who I am. And so we'll go from there living out these callings that we've considered before, back in verse 26, because now we have a chance to know who we are in Christ, and in Him crucified, we have our being. So that's where we focus our attention.
And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So I'm weak too. I came in weakness and in fear and much trembling. My speech and my message were not great words of wisdom, of manly wisdom or earthly wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
Right. And so Paul had a habit of when he would go to town, and he followed this in the book of Acts when he went to Corinth, he did the same thing. Paul's story in Corinth is actually a really interesting one, because he shows up And he starts to preach in the synagogue there to the Jewish people that had gathered about Jesus, and he wasn't really well received. In fact, they kicked him out. And after they kicked him out, he set up in the home of Aquila and Priscilla and was preaching God's word there. They worked together making tents and then spoke about the grace that we have in Christ together. And it wasn't about Paul's importance as a pastor or an apostle or a missionary, but it was about grace in Christ. We do read through the book of Acts that Paul did perform miracles and signs, but that's not something that is Paul's baby, if you will. That's really more of what God is doing through Paul to show the Spirit to the world, to show that God's kingdom is still, after Jesus has ascended into heaven, God's kingdom is still coming to Christians, and it is still coming to the church and to the world, and it still comes to us. Just as when your pastor stands in front of you when you go to church and you confess your sins, and your pastor says, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sins. It's not that your pastor's on a power trip or that he's lording some authority over you, but he's doing what Jesus told him to. Jesus calls pastors to forgive people's sins, not because of how great your pastor is, and I'll speak for myself and say, I'm not great. There's a lot of things that I really mess up, and I know myself as a sinner. But God's call for pastors to forgive sins, God's call for pastors to preach God's word and administer his sacraments, is a wonderful blessing to Christians. And in the same way, we can consider our vocations and think, well, if Paul as a pastor didn't come in wisdom and knowledge, but came clearly talking about Jesus, and it wasn't about the fancy words, but about the way that God would show himself in the world, the same is true in our Christian callings. We can think the same way about how, as parents, we teach our children about Jesus. Or we can think the same way about how we, as friends or employees, faithfully serve our employer by doing our job well. And how we even go on and have the chance to tell others about God's grace in Christ. As we do that, we get to continue to say, hey, this is what God has done for me, but don't look at me. Look at God's work. And that's the importance that we have as Christians, is it's not about us, but it's really about God. And so we get to use words as we talk to people, but it's not in the importance or the fanciness of our words. And it's not about our programs or what we're trying to do, but it's about what Christ has done for us and how he continues to come to us in his word as we read it here in the Bible, as it's proclaimed among us, as we hear that absolution when we go to church, or in the preaching that we hear and in Bible study, and through that same power that we receive through baptism and through the Lord's Supper of God's grace. In those cases, it's not about the words printed on the page. It's not about your pastor who's preaching to you. It's not about the water or the bread and the wine, but it's all about Jesus, who chooses these ways to come to you.
Verse 6, yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So, yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory.
Absolutely. And this is something that I've, even as I came into my study this morning, I looked around and the first thing I realized was, boy, I have a mess in here. I need to organize my books. And then I looked for a second at all my books. I've got a lot of books about different parts of the Bible. And as I was looking around at them, I thought, wow, there's an awful lot that we do know about the Bible. And there's an awful lot that God has revealed to us. On the other hand, though, a lot of times people ask questions about, why would God allow this to happen to me? We think about our weaknesses, and we say, why might I be sick? Or why am I grieving the loss of a loved one? Or why even is there death to really, kind of see how bad things can be? Why is it that the economy isn't doing what it wants to do? Why isn't there peace in the world? The Bible doesn't, other than to say there's sin in this world, The Bible doesn't give us great answers. What the Bible, though, does give us is that secret and hidden mystery of God, of a God who takes on flesh and comes in ways that we really don't understand. This is back where we go to what we would consider foolishness, that he would be born in what the world thinks of as a scandalous way, that he would go and die the death of a rebellious slave by crucifixion. And he comes and we have this mystery of what God has done for us. And so we talk about God's grace that you can't see. We don't walk around as Christians and have the, grace tattooed on our foreheads. And it's a secret thing, and it's something that we don't understand. Our faith and the love that we have from God is really something that's not rational or logical, and it doesn't make sense. That's okay, Because it's true. God reveals to us again and again in Scripture, we have this, and you know what? He decreed this before the ages, even before the creation of the world for our glory. And I know this gives me fits. How is it that before God would create the world, that he would know that the world is going to fall into sin? And he would know that he would send his son, Christ, to die and rise for us. He knew all that. And he did it anyway. That doesn't make sense, at least to me.
Not in human terms.
Absolutely.
Not by the ways of the world. Yeah,
in human terms and in the wisdom of the world, that doesn't make sense. But that's exactly what God has done. And so it says the rulers of the age don't understand this because they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. I don't have anything to add to Paul there because he really gets it. But then he goes and he quotes from Isaiah and he talks about what eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard and the hearts of men haven't imagined. That is what God has prepared for those who love him. God has a plan that we don't understand, and God's wisdom isn't anything like our wisdom. And he works for our good and for our glory, even on days when, according to worldly definitions, that's really miserable. This is what Pastor Luther would talk about as the theology of the cross and the suffering of Christians. That's part of living in a world where we don't look wise and we don't look important. But God has revealed his continued faithfulness to us, even as we suffer, even as we have difficult days. The Spirit searches out everything, even the depths of God, and God knows us better than we do. That's real comfort that I take in verse 11. We don't understand God's thoughts, because nobody understands somebody's thoughts like himself. There's a lot of days when I don't know what I think, and I have to sit back and wonder, and I might still not come up with anything. But God knows what I think, and more than that, God knows what's best for me, and God has a plan for me as a husband and as a pastor. God has a plan for all who are listening. And like Jeremiah says, those are plans to prosper and not to harm, even when those don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't received the spirit of the world and worldly wisdom. This isn't about what I know or about what you know. Just like Paul's ministry wasn't about Paul, but it was about the grace of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God works in us that we might understand these things that we get from by God, by inspiration to Paul. And in the same way, you can say, so when my pastor comes and forgives my sins, when my pastor serves me the Lord's Supper, or when I sit down with my family and read my devotions, then I have a chance to hear the wisdom of God. There might be a lot of things that I don't understand. I might have a long list of questions about the Bible. Okay. God still reveals to us his goodness and his grace. And this isn't taught to us by human wisdom. You can't go get a four-year degree at college about this. In some ways you can. Thanks for the correction. You can go to college and you can get a degree in theology. You can get a degree in that helps you to read the Bible and understand it. Sure. But you can't get a degree in faith.
There you go.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to say.
And I want to clarify, we've only got just a couple of minutes left, but I want to clarify, and I think you've pointed this out, but I want to, I think, get to it in very straight words, that in verse 7, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. When we're talking about the secret and hidden wisdom of God, it's not like the Gnosticism that you know, where God comes to us in some sort of mysterious way apart from his word. But rather, as you've pointed out several times, it's in his word that he comes to us and imparts to us a secret and hidden wisdom. It's not some sort of like out of nothing, in the, you know, just in thin air. God comes to us and gives us in each person a different idea. But rather, it's in his word that he comes to us and gives us this wisdom.
Right. God comes looking for us, and God finds us as his people and says, you are mine. Well, how do I know? Well, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, born of a woman, and who was a virgin, and he died and he rose for you. You might think, wow, that sounds fantastic, but how do I know that that counts for me? I mean, Jesus died for sinners, and I'm a sinner, but how do I know that God's grace really counts for me? Do I need to have some kind of an experience that says that I'm a Christian now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, because if I was simply to trust my experiences, I'd be really confused about a lot of things. But instead, we get to trust the experiences that God brings us. When he comes to us and he declares week in and week out, you are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When we're baptized, the pastor traces the sign of the cross on the forehead and on the heart of the person who's baptized to remind them and to show them that they are one redeemed by Christ the crucified, and then water is applied. Some people remember being baptized. Some people don't remember their own baptism, but they see other baptisms and they think, hey, that's me, and in baptism I am united with Christ, and I died on the cross with him, and I rose from the grave with him. And when it comes to completely illogical things, that's pretty high up on the list. But this is how God declares that he works. He declares that he works the same way in the Lord's Supper, where this little bit of bread that doesn't even always taste like bread, and this little bit of wine, he says it's his body and blood. I'm not going to argue with God. He says that it is, and I believe him. And so, while these things don't make sense to earthly standards and worldly standards, God promises that he comes to us, and he's not hidden from us, and it's not secret, because he tells us exactly what he's doing, but it doesn't, to our human minds, it doesn't make sense.
with just a few seconds left, I'll read verses 14 through 16 for us, and then maybe you can make just one statement about a summary statement about them. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Just about 30 seconds, Pastor.
It all goes back to baptism, actually. If we were just natural people, if it was up to us as individuals to know what was going on and to know what was wise in the world, we would be in a world of hurt. But we have the mind of Christ, given us by the power of God, and he declares that we are indeed his own, and in the mind of Christ, and in the what's revealed to us by God, we have faith. And that's what it comes down to. This doesn't make sense to the human mind, but God declares that it's true, and we get to rejoice in his promises.
We've been studying the Daily Lectionary, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 this morning with the Reverend Peter Ill, pastor at St. John Lutheran Church in Chester, Illinois. Pastor Ill, thanks so much for being our guest on His Time this morning, helping us study God's Word.
My pleasure to be with you around God's Word.
Thank you. God's blessings to you and all the saints there at St. John Lutheran Church in Chester, Illinois.
Thank you much.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Creation Club with Pastor Warren Worth. Stick around for that and more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.